Thank you that your word is truth. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, we can't even imagine what we would do without your word. How would we navigate? How do people make it without the rock, without the word, without Jesus, Lord? So we thank you, Lord, that you chose us out of darkness into your marvelous light, so that you can lead, guide, and direct us, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. You could have left us out there lost with nowhere to go and just caught up with everything else, with every wind of doctrine, with every fad and the newest and the shiniest thing. But we choose and we thank you to live by the word, to stand on the word, and to share the word. So now we open our hearts and our minds and we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. And we love you and we bless you on today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to, where are we at today? If you would, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. It's good to see you all on today. New members class after service. We'll be going over class class number. Actually, we'll start with class number 2. So for new members next Sunday, it'll be for those who need that extra class, because last month we only gave them one class at the beginning. So this month we'll give them the second part of that class. So if you need that second part, be there. And then next month, excuse me, and then next month we'll just start fresh with the new members class. Is it time already? Oh, my goodness, we're just getting started. So that's for the new members. And originally I was going to do two new members classes, but we can only do one because the fifth Sunday we'll be on our retreat, our family retreat. So that's why we'll just be doing one new members class this month, and then we'll be back to normal in the month of July. Really, July. Wow. Happy New Year. Did I say Ephesians 4 and 17?
Yes.
And so if you notice, we don't have our system today. Something's going on with the computer, so we apologize for not having our system. But, you know, you always come. We're old school, right? You always come to church with your Bible. And also, you know, the newer generation has the Bible on their phone, and I'm cool with that, too. I don't have a problem with that. But I always want you to look for yourself. It's so important that you see the word for yourself. And then I'm a note taker, so if you look through my Bible, it's all types of notes written in it. And so when I go, and just as a teaching tool, I don't highlight, because if you highlight, you go back to it and you try and remember what was my thought when I highlighted. But if you write a note in it, then when you go back, the note's always there. So that's why, as a preference for me, I take notes. It's okay to write in your word. You're not tagging on it. All right? God is not upset because you're taking notes to remember what thought he gave you when you were reading. Amen? So it's perfectly okay, and God bless you. It's perfectly okay to take notes in your word. So here we are, Ephesians 4:17. It's Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Amen. So here's what Paul is telling us, that he does not want us to be. And he's speaking to the church at Ephesus. He is speaking to Christians. He is saying, do not be an empty-headed Christian. That's the way Paul is breaking it down. Said, don't walk as the other Gentiles are walking. You've been called out. You are Christian. Don't pretend that you don't know how to live. Don't walk. Don't live as an empty-headed Christian. And so we are learning why there's such a battle to live right in a fallen world. So we've been talking about spiritual warfare. Look at Ephesians 6 so we can understand where we are. Ephesians 6 and 10. Because the worst thing we can do is be in a battle, be in a game, be in a war, and not know it. And not know who the enemy is and what the strategies of the enemy are. So this is where we started, and we're still talking about that. We've talked about life, we've talked about faith because it's one of our weapons, but I just want to take us back to the basics because Ephesians 4:17, it talks about the old man. When it gets to verse 23, it's going to talk about the new man. So today we're talking about the old and the new. So we're going to go back between what's old and what's new. And is there a difference? And so when you think about your week this week, did the old man live and dominate, or did the new man live and dominate? So this week, just think about it. Well, let's think about even last night. Did the old man dominate last night, or did the new man? How about this morning? So you won't even have to think back that far, amen? Or say the new man, all right, because we're in church. So that's good. We're going to talk about that week in just a minute. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the gimmicks, the tricks of the devil. So you understand that's why it's important to put on the whole armor. It's a new man, it's an old man, and the devil's going to make sure that the old man conquers the new man, where God is saying, let the new man conquer the old man. Underline, and you should have it already underlined, the wiles of the devil. That word wiles means schemes. So you have to understand that the devil has a schematic of your life, the blueprint, the schematic, the spider web to get you caught up. It's already laid out for you. Verse 12 tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. For too often we've been upset with people when people aren't the problem. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling. Husbands, you're not wrestling against your wife. Wife, you're not. Your husband's not the enemy. That's a scheme. That's a wile. That's a schematic. That's a spider web of the enemy. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, this cosmos, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Somebody needs to be reminded of that. Not fighting against your kids. It's the scheme of that the principalities in high places and spiritual wickedness. The rulers of darkness. Stop fighting your kids. Stop fighting your spouse. Not even wrestling against the people on your job, your boss, your coworkers, the people you supervise. That's, you're looking at the wrong enemy. The worst thing you can do is be in a battle and not know who the enemy is. Worst thing you could do is prepare for a game as a coach for the wrong opponent. Let's turn back to 4:17. All right, so I'm going to give you three enemies that we have. All right, number one is the world. The scripture base for this is Ephesians 2:2. It's the organized system of deception that constantly paints a picture of confusion and a thick, inviting smokescreen that constantly distracts you and I, you and me, from seeing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the world. Let me say that again. Scripture base is Ephesians 2:2. It's an organized system of deception. Just think about your week. What did the world try and confuse you with and deceive you to make you think that it's more important than Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life? I tell you, boy, it's some stuff out there. Have you all your head all spinned around and you think, whoa, I'm in a serious situation now? No, Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. It ain't that deep. But that's the way the world is set up, the organized system of deception. That's one. Number two is the devil. It says, we just read it in Ephesians 6:11-12. That's your scripture reference. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And the third one is the flesh, which is the old man. Our old nature, our old sin nature. Which brings us to our text in Ephesians 4:17. So let me ask the question again. Was there a new man sighting in your week last week? Was there a new man sighting? When your buddies and your friends came up and said, "You the man," was they talking about the new man or the old man? Which one were they talking about? Oh, you know, you the man, Tommy. Were they talking about your new man or your old man, Tommy? And that's a great question. So how would we know? How can we distinguish between the new man and the old man? What's the difference? You guys asked some great questions. I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. So Titus is a young pastor at the church of Crete. Paul writes him a letter to his church. And that's where we pick it up in 3. So we're going to go back between the new man and the old man so you can distinguish. Well, let's look at, we're going to start at verse, let's start at, let's say Titus 3. All right, Titus 3 and 1. So he's telling them that the subheading with 3 and 1 is maintain good works. Paul is telling Timothy to tell the people in the church, maintain good works. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities. Okay. Principalities and powers to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So when you look at principalities, it's telling you to be subject to rulers and authorities. So that's on our job. We have to do good works on our job. Amen. For those of us that are blessed to have a job. All right. He's saying don't go. And remember, when we go to work, it's a whole different mind shift now. We can't be lying in church, but we don't go to church to make money. I mean, we do, but we don't. We go to make disciples. We go to be a witness. We go to let our light shine. So we have to change the mindset. I don't really go to work to make money. So when I understand that, well, it's nice. It's a nice benefit of it. You know what I'm saying? We got bills. We got all responsibilities, all that kind of stuff. It's a nice benefit of it, but that's not my main goal. So my perspective on work has totally changed. So that's why Paul is saying right here, the new man, when you go to work, you obey all those who have authority over you. You're not the ones causing gossip and contention and creating havoc on the job because you're talking against the bosses. All right. So, so it says, put them in mind. He says, tell the church members to be subject to the authorities and the rulers and the rules, and to be ready to do a good work. And that word good, to use the word good, is useful, honorable, excellent, upright, and distinguished. Ready means prepared. So you should be prepared when you go to work to be good, useful, honorable, excellent, upright, and distinguished. You should be set apart from everybody else on your job by your good works. And remember, we don't work to get saved, but because we are saved, we do good works because we represent God. Amen. I'm not trying to work for my salvation. I can't work for that. That is a free gift. But now that I am saved, I do good works to show that I work ultimately for God. Amen. So that's the new man. Verse 2, to speak evil of no man. Whoa, there we can stop right here. We go home right now. Does it say some people are... But it says to speak evil. So now it's talking about your conversation. You the man. Which man was speaking last week? Which man was speaking? Let's go back to last night. To not be brawlers. Don't be contentious, but gentle. Here's the new man. Gentle. Showing all meekness unto all men. So be humble. The word gentle, why was it was pretty interesting. Gentle, that word gentle means be fair and be patient. The meekness means humble. Gentle, fair, patient, be appropriate. Be mild, be equitable. And it, I mean, that's, and for those of us, who have kids, we know that fair is not always equitable. Fair is not always equitable. For one kid, you can talk to that kid. And I'm glad our kids, that ain't had to go so much, because we can talk about them now, all right? I ain't gonna say who's who. But one you can talk to and they get it. The other one, you can't talk to them. They gotta feel something, all right? But they get it. Well, it's not fair, you didn't treat. Fair is not equitable, but it's equitable. One, you could tell them, I'm gonna need to take your phone, and they lose. The other one, you take the phone, I can care less. So why you take his phone and didn't take my phone, it's not fair. No, but it is equitable. So the word is, the new man is fair and equitable and understands the difference. Amen, parents? You teach school, you have one kid that comes late, and when he walks through the door, you smell the marijuana on him, you go right to the office. Another kid comes late, you know, I had to take care of, my mom works at night, I had to send my, get my little brothers and sisters off to school, so I came late. You sit down and do your work. Oh man, that's not fair, but it's equitable. So fair is not equitable. But the new man is fair and equitable. Oh, but then we get to verse 3. And Paul is showing the comparison, telling Timothy the comparison. Now he switches back to the old man. He says, for we ourselves, you can put your name, for me, years ago, or yesterday, or last night was sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. How was your week last week? Who showed up? Who lived last week? The old man or the new man? Make a note, the word foolish means unintelligent. He said, at some time you were unintelligent. Why? What makes you unintelligent? Because man's wisdom is foolishness to God. I don't care how many degrees you have. It doesn't matter. If you don't have the Spirit of God, matter of fact, the word teaches you're not even alive. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not even living. He that has the Son has life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Pastor, that's a hard word. I know. That's why we teach the word here. But he's saying, remember, man's wisdom is foolishness to God. So regardless of how smart we thought we were, and just look back on your life. Think about some of the stuff we used to do. That's why I was an old man, right? Amen. Hopefully, some of the stuff we maybe still do. He said, I was so stupid. What was I thinking about? But that was it. You weren't thinking. You weren't thinking with the Spirit of God. Man, I thought I was so smart back then. I thought I was so slick and so smooth and so cool. And see, what this does too, as we're talking with others, that's why I said, Paul, look, he says, for we ourselves, Paul puts himself in it too. We were also sometimes foolish, and put underline sometimes. I didn't look up sometimes. I should have looked that up. I got caught up on foolish and disobedient, deceived. I was looking all that up. But we were sometimes. So that shows that you cut some people some slack. Just when you think you're super Christian, you read a scripture like this, man, you were just like that. But I'm super Christian now. Not really. Not really. Don't get it twisted. It's God's mercy and God's grace, and that's it. But by the grace of God, what would we still be caught up in? But for the grace of God, we wouldn't be as far along as we are now. You say, thank God I don't do what I used to do, and I'm not where I'm trying to be, but I thank God for where I am right now. But that's only his grace. We weren't that smart to figure it out. Okay, so then we got foolish, unintelligent, disobedient, was non-compliant. The old man is non-compliant. He does his own thing. Deceive means to go astray, to seduce, to wander, to roam. And I hope you weren't roaming after something last night. Amen. Fornication, adultery, drugs, alcohol, pride, confusion. What were you roaming after last night? Pornography. What were you roaming after? That's the deception. Serving different or various lusts. It's into a whole bunch of stuff. It gets deep. He said that you were serving different lusts. You were a slave. You had no control. You thought you were in control, but you were not in control. Sin had you serving it, you and I. So, okay, I'm going to try and get deep, but not too complicated here. Why are you laughing, Tara? You can't even... So it says serving means a slave. All right, so let me make sure I want to say this right. So I remember growing up, and it was six boys in my family. And, you know, you watch one of those movies, Roots or something like that. You say, man, I would have never been a slave. Oh, man, if I was back, man, I wouldn't have been a... But here we are now, and we're a slave to sin. So if you're not in Christ, you're still not free. You're letting something else control you that doesn't care about you. And then if we read it, let's break it down even further. If we read in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. All right, so we try and get deep, but not complicated. And unfortunately, back then, you know, being a slave would get you, could get you lynched or hung on a tree. But if the wages of sin or death, with you out there sinning, you find yourself hanging on the tree of death, because the wages of sin is death. It's not going to turn out good. But then we thank God, because our Savior was obedient to God until the death. But when he hung on the tree, it's deep, huh? Set us free. That's why we serve God. Because he set us free. And he was obedient all the way to the death. If you get caught up in sin, you die from the wages of sin. We're sharing with the young ladies this morning, myself and Minister Raymond. Sin has to be punished. It has to be punished. Yes, God will forgive you. We were talking under the context when the guy comes up and say, you know what? You know, baby, I love you, and you looking so good, and you know God's going to forgive you. Oh, yes, yeah, Satan knows the scriptures, too. So we're telling the young ladies, Satan knows the scriptures, too. And you can tell by his conversation, does it lead to death or does it lead to life? And when he says, you know, God will forgive you, you know he's talking through Satan. Because that's not leading to life, that's leading to death, because sin has to be punished. Oh, yeah, we in there teaching parents. And again, I thank you for allowing us to work with them. Because sin has to, yes, but God will, yes, but it has to be punished. And here we talked about we have control of the choice, but we don't have control of the consequences. That minute he says, come over to my house, we just gonna talk. And when you step through that door, that's your choice. Consequences, it could go in 1,000 different directions. We have control of the choice, but not the consequences. Young men, when the homies tell you, get in the car, we just gonna ride. When you step in that car, that's your choice. You don't know where that car is going. And you don't have control of the consequences, how it's gonna wind up. Sin has to be punished. So here we are, the old man and the new man. Here's the trip. One of them was you were serving last week. You were serving one of them. The old man or the new man. Verse 3 again. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different various lusts and pleasures. Did I break down pleasures? I didn't break down pleasures, did I? Oh, pleasure, sensual delights. That's what we were serving. Lust, desire, craving, longing, desire for what is forbidden. Just because you said I can't have it, I'm going to get it. Just because you told me not to, I'm going to do it. That's what the old man says. He's not obedient to anything. Remember, he's non-compliant. It says living in malice, living in being translated as spending all your time. Malice. I was trying to figure out what is malice. Here's what malice is. It's a desire to injure, depravity. It's wickedness. It's evil. It's no shame. It's trouble. It's badness. I didn't even know badness was a word. Badness. Are you kidding me? That's what malice is. It's badness. I'm going to hurt something. I'm going to hurt somebody. And it says hateful. And that's just hating someone. Envy, jealousy. Hateful and hating. You're hateful and you're hating. And in one interpretation, it talked about how you don't mind being hated because the way you are. That old man, he don't care. I don't like anybody anyway, and I don't like you. So I hate you. You hate me. I'm cool. So that's how you're hateful and hating one another. Oh, but look at verse 4. But here comes a new man again. I always say thank God for the buts. That never sounds right either. Okay. Verse 4. So we get back. Now we go back to the new man. But after that, underline the kindness of love, the kindness and love of God. Our Savior toward man appeared. And look at the order that it's in. It says, but after that, the kindness, underline kindness. And that word kindness interpreted integrity, the excellence, the gentle, the goodness of the love of God, our Savior toward man. Underline toward man. See, it didn't appear towards man, but towards man it appeared. It was a plan. It was a purpose. It was directed towards man. The love of God was directed towards you and I. That's good news. I don't know if anybody else liked it, but it wasn't just put out there. It was planned. It was purpose. God had a plan. He directed it towards you and I. So God is telling us we need to have, we're not going to accidentally serve God. It has to be a plan to it. It has to be purposeful. You're not going to accidentally serve God every day. You have to plan on it. God is a God of purpose, of direction, of order. It has to be a plan, a purpose, and an order to your life. And to which man you're going to serve, the new or the old. But after that, the kindness and the love of God. And the word, which one was it? The word kindness also, in the Greek, it was like a word that where we get our word philanthropist from, one who just gives all the time. God, the one who just gives all the time. His love is of God, the Savior. We all need a Savior. Can't save yourself. Toward man appeared. Make sure you underline toward man appeared. Verse 8, not by works of righteousness. You're not going to work your way into this one, which we have done. But according to his mercy, underline mercy, he saved us. Word mercy being translated compassion, his kindness, his goodwill towards miserable and the afflicted, joined with the desire to help them. We were jacked up. You and I, we were jacked up. And his mercy found us. And it not only found us, but it saved us by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And the word renewing, regeneration, it comes from renovation. I know I got some construction guys in here. I think we talked about this before. I know Sergio, John, Tommy, they all do construction and all that. So this word translated is renovation. And that's where God says we need an extreme makeover. Some of us more extreme than others. But we needed it. It's the new man. That old man needed an extreme makeover to create the new man. Make sure you underline mercy. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly. Underline abundantly. And how? Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's a new man. It's through Jesus Christ. Underline saved. In verse 5, save, deliver, protect, heal, preserve, to do well, to make whole. God made some of us whole. We've been looking to be something, and God made us something because he made us whole when he saved us. Save also means to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger and or destruction. We were headed for danger. We were headed for self-destruction. Old schoolers remember that song, Headed for Self-Destruction. Only true old schoolers remember that one, Headed for Self-Destruction. Yes. And we didn't even know it. That's a sad thing. We didn't even know it. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly, underline abundantly, through Jesus Christ. Jesus, his name means Jehovah is salvation. Christ, Messiah, the anointed one, the consecrated, the holy one. Anointing, he was anointed as king. He's approved. That's why it's so important to call on the name of Jesus. That's why the world doesn't want that name to be magnified. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved except for the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in that name. Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, justified, declared righteous by his grace. That's the loving kindness. That's the favor. Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Man, that's some powerful. That is some powerful stuff right there. God has come up with the answer. And the old man is looking for the answer in himself. The new man knows the answers in Jesus Christ. That's why it's such a battle, the old and the new nature, the old nature. But one thing struck me in verse 7, that being justified by his grace, underlying grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So because of God's loving kindness and his favor, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, that we might be saved. Turn with me quickly to 2 Peter chapter 3. Because sometimes we don't understand the true character of God. Keep your finger on Titus and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. And when you're there, say amen. Amen. Bless you. Salute. Sometimes we don't understand the nature of God. But his grace, his kindness, his love, his favor gives us insight into the character of God, his nature. And so we pick it up in 2 Peter 3. And I say 9. Look at 3 and 8. Let's start with 8 and we'll go through 10. It says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Peter saying, God is outside of time. God is outside of time. Ain't that special? So when they say we're in our last days, but if a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day, who knows? But Jesus said, just be ready. No one knows the day or the hour. And they're going to speak on that. So here's Peter. Here's where I was trying to go in verse 9. That was just a bonus, verse 8. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Here's God saying, man, I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. That's why his grace saved us. You know, people say, well, how can a loving God send people? No, we send ourselves through our disobedience. The grace is already there. God has already set it up. The plan, the purpose is all in place. But I choose to live through the old man and do my own thing because that's what feels good. The question we posed to the young ladies this morning, do you want a good life or do you want a great life in God? No, I'm sorry. Do you want to feel good or do you want a great life in God? These are your options, family. The old man says, let's just feel good all the time. God says, I want you to be great in me. And that comes through obedience. So I pose the same question to the congregation. You want to feel good or you want a great life in God? Old man, new man. So two choices. When you walk out of here, today, those are your two choices. Do I just want to live a life that feels good or do I want a great life? If God is the greatness, which we saw in 2 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13, God is the greatness. God is not trying to become great. He is already great. He's the greatness. You and I, we're trying to do something to make our mark and be great. God is the greatness. So our great life is already in God. He's already planned and predestined. But here's the key. Are you going to walk in it? Are you going to disqualify yourself by serving the old man? And then remember, we're in spiritual warfare. So you're wrestling against the world, the flesh and the devil. So it's a battle going on. And again, I'll say it, the worst thing you can do is be in a war and a battle and not even know it. And you just think, I'm good. Well, you're good, but you're missing out on the great life that God has for you. Don't be deceived. So let me read verse 10, because I did like that in 2 Peter 3 and 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Uh-oh. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, underline that too. What, the earth also? Are you kidding me? And the works that are therein shall be burned up. So what is that saying? We can't keep none of this stuff we working for. You don't want to sell yourself out to stuff. It's all going to burn up in the end. And then we could read in Revelations 21 with the new heaven and the new earth. So all this stuff is gone. So why am I working so hard for stuff? Why am I selling myself out for stuff? That ain't gonna even, number one, I can't take it with me, Sister Kathy.
That's right.
Even if you take it with you, you can't use it. They could bury you with a U-Haul. I mean, the Egyptians tried it. Well, we went to the Museum of Egypt when we were over in Egypt, and it was all there. It was left there, but they buried it with them. It was all in tombs and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they had gold umbrellas and gold chariots. I mean, everything was gold. Those cats was out of control. They were. I mean, you know, like you have an umbrella. It was a gold umbrella. I'm like, these cats, they were on one. And they packed it up and they put it in a tomb and they thought they was going to be able to use it in the next life. But they couldn't. And now it was on display. That's it. So the best it could do was be on display. The stuff that we work for after we're gone, the best it could do is be on display for somebody else. You know, I talked about it before. You save all your money and your kids get it and marry an idiot and some idiot spending your money. I don't care when I pass, if my bank account says 000, I don't care. Hey, I don't care. I got you. I don't care. You know, I know my brother Moody, that's what the insurance is for. Amen. And I said, but the bank account's there. Dad didn't leave no money. No, he used it. What was he supposed to leave it for y'all? Are you kidding me? dad didn't leave nothing. He didn't leave us nothing. Well, you got the insurance, but he had no money in it. No. He used it all. He gave it, right? It's going to burn up anyway. Y'all got me all distracted. Let's get back to Titus. Verse 8, back to Titus 3 and 8. This is a faithful saying. This is a trust. Faithful being translated as true, trustworthy, assured. This is a sure thing. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain, underline, maintain good works. If you truly believe in God, remember, we're saved by grace, but now that I believe in God, I'm living for God. Well, you got to be careful. You need to maintain good works. And it says, these things are good and profitable unto men. So your good works, you doing good, you living good, you doing right, you acting right, you speaking right, you living for good is profitable unto us. It's good and it's profitable. And if you want to know why, you got to come back next week. Time's up. Gosh. Where does the time go? Let us close out in prayer. Oh, what a challenge, family. As I'm studying this, and God is sharing with me, there's an old man and a new man. And during our men's meeting yesterday at the church, and one of the brothers was saying, man, that old man, he was coming out of the basement. I had a situation, because we always say we want to keep the old man in the basement and the old woman. We say, man, that's mankind, male, female. Keep that old person in the basement. But he said he was up the stairs. He was getting ready to knock on the door and come out. He was on his way out. But God. So, family, all I can share with you is that it's a tug of war between an old man and a new man. But just like anything else that we practice, we get good at. If you practice letting the new man live, he will be the stronger of the two. Let me say that again, family. If you practice allowing the new man to live, the new woman to live, the new one that's in Christ, if any man, woman be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you practice allowing that new man, that new woman in Christ that's been regenerated, that's been renovated, that's had the extreme makeover through the Holy Spirit, if you practice allowing them to live, they will become the stronger of the two. And you'll forget about that old man. Until something might happen and try and bring them up, but you're like, no, you stay there. I got this. Me and the new man, we got this. We don't need you on this one. Matter of fact, we don't need you at all. So, Lord, we're praying right now. If you bow your head just really quickly. Maybe someone's here and say, you know, Pastor, I need to accept Christ. The only way you can have a fighting chance, because you have the new nature in you, is through Jesus Christ. You can't work your way to this. It's the free gift. And then because we are saved, then we have good works, because we now have the power through the Holy Spirit to allow the new man to live. So maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to accept Christ. That's my first step. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I need to rededicate. I need that extreme makeover, because the old man has just been doing his thing. He's out of control. He's wilding out. And I know God's given me the power, and I just need to get up and rededicate. Halfway through the new year, and I'm still playing 2013 games, and 2014 is almost halfway over. If you want to rededicate your life this morning, I'd love to pray for you. Elevate your hand. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home, and you say, Pastor, I love the fellowship, I love the word, I love the worship. This is a place where I could grow. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your church family. So if you have any of the requests, you salvation, rededication, or church membership. Come on up, Brother Danny. Let's thank God for our Brother Danny. Let me have you stand right here, Brother Danny. Have asked some of my men to come up and just surround our brother. So Brother Danny comes up for church membership, uniting with us as South Bay Abundant Life Church. And Brother Danny, just like we surround you now, we'll say it to everyone who comes up and joins. We got your back. Thank God for the men. Oh, no, we don't have it all together, but we got Jesus. We've been regenerated. We've been renewed. We're serious about God. We're not playing games. Yeah, we have our ups and downs and struggles, but the bottom line is you got some men surrounding you that love God, that will hold you accountable. As much as you want to be held accountable, to walk with you, to pray with you, share, laugh, and just be a brother that's serving God. So, Lord, your word says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but we should always come together for fellowship. Yeah, you can watch TV and listen to the radio, but it's not like being in the house of God. It's not like fellowshipping with his saints. Not like having a group of brothers put hands on your shoulder and your back and say, we got you. So, Lord, we thank you for our brother. Thank you that you put on his heart for him to unite with us. And again, Lord, as we're surrounding him now, we promise to surround him with prayer, with the word, with the presence of God, and a fellowship of good men. So we thank you, Lord, that you're at the center of it all. Thank you for our brother Danny. Thank you for all that you've done in his life, Lord. All of it's led up to this point where he's joining and uniting, not just being a member, but he's part of the family of South Bay Abundant Life Church. Not just coming to sit, but coming to be a part. And we thank you, Lord, for that. So bless him now. Thank you for this church service, Lord. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Welcome, brother. Glad to have you, man. Glad to have you. Stand to your feet. We thank you, Lord, that you have come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.